Okay, good evening. Paradise Town Board, December 14th, 2021 at 7 o'clock. Before we get started, I'd just like to make a note on a few items. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The Board Council may continue two or more agenda items for consideration. The Board Council may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting tonight are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners or the Planning Commission for final action. So this is just the recommending portion of the items. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices that you might have. Put them on airplane mode or whatever you need to do so that they don't interrupt the meeting. And I'll leave the last couple of items for you to read. It's on the agenda. And let's see, all of the board members are present this evening. And do we have introductions, county introductions?
Mark Donahue, Clark County Department of Comprehensive Planning.
Okay. Anyone else? No? No one wants to speak up? Okay. So, at this point, would you all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on the agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items which within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. When you do come up, please step up to the table. There is a microphone right here. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Does anyone have anything they want to say? You will have an opportunity to speak if you're here on any items at the time they are presented. Okay. Approval of the minutes for November 30th, 2021.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve the minutes of November 30th, 2021 with a change to item number 3. It does not reflect that I abstain from that vote, so we need that correction. All other minutes are correct, and I make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the minutes of November 30th, 2021, with the changes for item 3 that Susan abstained from the voting on that, or participating in the discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Approval of the agenda for tonight, December 14, 2021, with any holds combined or delete any items.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda for December 14, 2021.
Okay. We have a motion to approve tonight's agenda for December 14, 2021. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And at this time we will receive a presentation regarding the DOT I-11 Planning and Environmental Linkage PEL, I guess, study for discussion only. Just push the button up. If you'd like, it'd be easier to understand you. That's up to you.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, Board, appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this evening. My name is Ken Lambert. I'm with HDR Engineering. I'm joined this evening by Chrissy Hunt, who's our outreach lead on the study. I'm representing the Nevada Department of Transportation and speaking this evening on behalf of David Bowers, who joined me. He's ill this evening. So Again, appreciate the opportunity to speak to present this item. What I'd like to chat with you about this evening is the Nevada Department of Transportation's I-11 Planning and Environmental Linkages Study. I have a slideshow that I'll draw your attention to. Alright, so the purpose of this Planning and Environmental Linkages Study is to select a corridor.
If you have a discussion you would like to take up in the back, could you take it out in the lobby or outside the doors, please? Thank you. Out of respect to the people that are presenting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The purpose of the I-11 Pell study is to select a corridor for I-11 through the Las Vegas Metropolitan Valley. So yeah, it's a partnership study between NDOT and Federal Highways Nevada, and they're seeking agency and public input in making that decision. So part of what we're looking to do with this study is get the word out and seek this board's input, as well as other boards, the county, the other local agencies, and the public. We have a website that I'll draw your attention to. It's i11nv.com. That's i11nv.com. And I encourage all present to please review that website. Feel free to sign up for updates on the study and to be a part of our mailing lists. So the study's purpose, again, is to select the corridor for I-11 through Metro Las Vegas. There are two distinct corridor alternatives that we're studying and one corridor alternative with two options. So I'll discuss those now with you. So we have the two alternatives we call the Western and the Central alternative. So the Western alternative begins at the Henderson Interchange with 215. 515, this is where I-11 is designated already to the south, continuing through the Arizona border. The western alternative would continue west on I-215 until it makes an interchange with I-15 and then becomes CC-215, then continuing to the west and to the north, and then at a point just north of Ann Road, there's two options for the western corridor alternative. One would continue around the east through the Centennial Interchange with US 95 and then continue northerly along US 95. The second option, again, from that point just north of Anna Road, would make a more northerly alignment along the Sheep Mountain Parkway, which would be a new route. All the other routes are existing routes. In this one case, this option is Sheep Mountain Parkway. That does not exist today, so that would involve a new section of highway and then ultimately an interchange with US 95 and Sheep Mountain. Then again, the corridor would continue further north of US 95. So those are the western alternatives and the two options. The central alternative, again, beginning at the Henderson Interchange, would continue northerly along I-515 through the Las Vegas Spaghetti Bowl Interchange with I-15, then continuing west and north along US 95 to that same terminus point. Alright, I gotta write this. So the two, we are very much aware that these corridor alternatives that we're studying are within the jurisdictional boundaries of this town advisory board, so we're very much interested in hearing this body's opinion again on this, and we're aware that the studies that we're evaluating, corridors are evaluating, are within this board's jurisdiction. So I wanted to talk a little bit about why we're studying these two alternatives. When we began this study almost 2 years ago, we were looking really at three alternatives, a western and a central. We were also looking at an eastern alternative that you may have heard about. We went through the process of evaluating that, and that eastern alternative has since been screened out. So that is no longer being considered. And some of the reasons that was screened out is because it was going to be about 20% longer than the other routes. Our traffic analysis showed that very few vehicles would actually use that route because it's so disconnected from the valley, it doesn't have a lot of access to activity centers. Consequently, it doesn't draw as much trips. It would also have significant cost attached to it, 6 to 8 times as much as some of the other alternatives that were necessary. This is because it's a very challenging terrain to go around French Mountain and build a four-lane interstate facility that's high speed. We also did a pretty extensive public outreach, and 80% of those who commented on this were opposed to the Eastern Corridor alternative, largely because of the concern about the environmental impact, those protected areas east of Las Vegas. So, you know, for those reasons above, the Eastern Port alternative was not in. Traffic, a topic that everybody's concerned about. So one thing we wanted to communicate is there's been quite a bit of work done studying the traffic impacts of this ILF designation. Would this designation somehow impact traffic? So we studied what we expect to see with traffic with and without an ILF designation, and with the natural growth of traffic through development within the valley over the next 20 years. And what you see on kind of the first line is what we expect to see in terms of the valley's traffic growth. We do expect to see growth at the entry and exit points of the Las Vegas Valley. We also expect to see significant growth within the Las Vegas Valley. However, I-11 in and of itself adds very little traffic, the designation of that, plus the trips that are induced by the designation of I-11. Just to put things into perspective, we're expecting that in 2040, we'll have about an additional 7,500 vehicles entering the Las Vegas Valley because of I-11. That 7,500 vehicles on a daily basis compares to some of the areas within Las Vegas where you have, we're looking at 300,000 vehicles on a daily basis within some of these congested portions of the arterial, so freeways. So I-11 really contributes this number on the lower right-hand corner, about 1.7% additional traffic by virtue of the selection that's made, regardless of whether that selection is the western corridor or the central corridor. So again, kind of the takeaway from that is putting a shield up there saying I-11 in and of itself really doesn't, you know, generate that much traffic. We did quite a bit of feedback in the last year or so, and what we're looking to do is get feedback on what the Valley thought about these core alternatives, where the support and opposition was, and more importantly, why people were in support or opposed to some of these core alternatives. So we had an online meeting where folks were able to look at the core alternatives and provide their input. We had surveys, we had a lot of emails, we had a pretty extensive social media campaign. We also held 7 public meetings, in-person public meetings at locations throughout the Las Vegas Valley. And we did a lot of advertisements in the newspaper. We got some press as well in the local papers. The feedback that we got is kind of summarized in the little circles below. We had about 29%. In favor of the western corridor, and about 43% in favor of the central corridor. Interesting to note, though, is that the portion of folks that responded neutral or no opinion at 30%, 27% is pretty high. So there really wasn't a lot of strong opinions one way or the other. We call it kind of a lean towards the central corridor, but not an overwhelming support or opposition of either corridor. So one of the reasons for getting out and communicating this is because we want to get more input from agencies and the public as we move forward and consider making those decisions about which is the best route to designate I-11. Some of the reasons for those supports are summarized on the screen. We'll make this, you have this presentation available to the board if they want to review it. I'm sure you can. Some folks like the idea of having a western corridor because it bypasses the congestion of downtown Las Vegas, uses existing freeways. They thought the western route was a safer route, but you know, just as many people that supported it were also opposed to it because they felt it was inconsistent with the development that was occurring in the west part of the valley. You got more residential and more recreational use, less commercial or industrial, so they felt I-11 was more suited to that type of density of commercial and industrial development versus the western corridor. So the reasons, you know, for support and opposition are summarized on this slide. Now, what we're doing now is we're going through, in addition to getting agency and public feedback, we're looking at the risks to environmental and other resources that would be affected by this selection, by this designation. And quite frankly, the impacts that result from the selection of the western and central corridors, since they're existing corridors, are pretty minimal. You're changing the science. That one alternative where we have that option going Sheep Mountain Parkway, that would create a new section of 4-lane highway. So that does have some impact risks to the environment. So we're looking at these These categories: environmental feasibility, economy, access and connectivity, traffic and mobility, equity, and public support. And those are the metrics that we're using to make our recommendations as a study team to end up in federal highways. So again, we're here really because we want to get the word out and we want to get your feedback. Where we're at right now is we're conducting a series of these meetings. We're speaking with town boards and citizen advisory councils. We're going to be collecting this input, and we're going to be preparing a report with some recommendations. And then we're going to be publishing that report and doing an online meeting and some engagement to seek the public's input and agency input on our recommendations and the state's recommendations. And then the state and federal highways intend to incorporate that public feedback into their decision-making process. And the expectation is in May of next year, they'll make the decision they need and end up in federal highways about what quarter to designate pilot. Again, if there's any questions, we've got lots of ways to contact us. We've got a project hotline. We have an email address, info@i11nv.com. We've got the website, i11nv.com, which is a great resource to get to all the information, sign up for more information. And David Bowers, again, I'm representing the CNA. He's the project manager. With that, I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
Is there anyone that has any comment they'd like to make? Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Huh?
I do.
I'm getting that. And so with that, I'll open it to the board.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. I didn't see anything in any of your presentation about the nuclear waste transportation concern. That's sort of a statement, and thereby also asking the question, has that been considered in any of the analysis? That has not, as far as I know, it has not been dropped, it's been postponed. The transport of nuclear waste. Okay, so here's why I ask it. The Clark County portion of the Western Beltway, if you will, is not federal. And so I believe designating that I-15 would change the status and make that usable for the transportation of nuclear waste. Because right now it is not in the federal system. So the federal government can't just decide to use it. Unlike 95 or, you know, the other routes. Has that been considered?
That's a great comment. I appreciate that. We did have a meeting with the, I can't remember the name of it now, it's a group that focuses on that, the transportation group for low-level
Clark County.
So we had they were one of our stakeholders, and we reached out to them, had a meeting with them, and I'll do quotes from our records, but I believe they said that the routes that we were considering, neither one of those routes was used for transportation of waste. I-15 was, but neither 95 or 215 were. Could be wrong.
I think that this needs to be seriously thought of. Because if the Western, you know, look, if it's push comes to shove, no big difference, which basically kind of was shown in your responses, this could be a killer for that Western alignment.
Okay.
Just saying, you guys need to look at this.
All right, I appreciate that. Absolutely. We'll reach out to that group again. We've met with them once before, and we asked them the question, were either of these alternatives used for transportation?
Phil Klavorik over at Clark County, as far as I know, is still heading up the nuclear waste team for Clark County. I've seen Phil for a number of years now, but I think I would reach out to him.
What's his name?
Phil Klavorik with the Department of Comprehensive Planning.
All right. Thank you.
I think it's a critical issue because, you know, time has, and maybe forgetfulness, has gone by on this particular subject, and I think it's a very critical issue.
Appreciate that.
I have a question. You mentioned that the only cost by doing not doing the cheap range Parkway, but using the other route would be signage. So there's no plans to do any improvements to the existing highways that we have that these are going to connect to, because my understanding is they're trying to bring more of trucking on the 11 through town heading up towards Canada eventually. So having that many more truckers on roads that are already packed without any improvements to them seems not the right way to go.
Great question. And one of our stakeholders is the freight associations and trucking groups. So we are meeting with them as part of our working group. And the short story on traffic was that the designation adds very little. As I said, 7,500 cars versus a base of 300,000. So, we're not expecting this designation is going to alter that flow. Part of that 7,500 additional vehicles, is trucks entering and exiting the valley on 11 to the south and 95 to the north. So, we appreciate that input as well. We certainly will factor that into consideration. In terms of traffic needs, although I-11 in and of itself isn't generating that significant traffic growth, there is significant traffic growth occurring within the valley through the growth of development, and there will be a great many projects that will be necessary over the next 20 years to address those local congestion needs by virtue of all the growth that's occurring in the valley. So I don't want to leave you with a false impression that there's not going to be a lot of projects and potential widening. It's just not as a direct result of the designation of either of those.
I'd just like to see, like you have on 15 into LA, some truck lanes so that we just don't have so much congestion when we're all trying to use those same roads to get around our own town when they're just trying to get straight on through. So that would be something I would like to see happen.
Okay, appreciate that comment. I'll make sure we add that to the record.
So you're saying that you're creating a north-south thoroughfare, if you will, through the country from Canada to Mexico. And that's not going to add significantly over time. I mean, seriously, the trucking industry in itself and delivery of goods, it's already short by how many million truckers. So how is that not going to add to the congestion we already have if you don't improve all the highway all the way through?
So there wouldn't need to be improvements north of Las Vegas. So an interstate facility is a four-lane high-speed facility. So the benefit from having a designation of I-11 means that in Nogales, Mexico, which is where the study is entering on the south end, you would have a four-lane high-speed facility. Once you see that I-11 shield, you can get on that shielded, designated highway, and you'll know that you can maintain a four-lane high-speed facility, no stops, no signals, until it ends. So that's what really that designation does for you. And while that presently exists in lots of parts of 5515, it does not exist presently on 215. It will when that long ramp is built between eastbound 215 and northbound US-95, but once you get north of Las Vegas, there's considerable stretches of US-95 that are full lines. So those would need to be improved as well, if it was to be designated as an interstate facility. We did look at induced strips, and what we did is we looked, well north of Nevada and south of Nevada to see, what type of trips would be drawn to I-11 if it was a four-lane high-speed facility, and that's where we're seeing, the 7,500 cars. The slide I had up shows that that's a growth of about 25 to 30% within that quarter. So it's a significant percentage of growth. You're talking about adding almost another 30, 40, 50% more traffic that presently exists. But like I said, it's 30, 40, 50%, which gets you to 7,500 on the base of 300,000 vehicles in Las Vegas. So we do expect traffic to increase due to I-11, but that amount of traffic relative to what's occurring within the valley is relatively insignificant.
So how long is it going to take you to do this? How long do they figure it's going to take to build this?
want to build it.
Yeah.
Well, again, depending
on... So it's coming through the valley and it's a viable.
So depending on which corridor is selected,
mm-hmm.
the implementation of the replacement of the signage, you know, is you know, primarily the major input. If the Western and Central are selected, if another, that other mm-hmm. option is selected, the Sheep Mountain Parkway, we wouldn't expect any improvements to occur within the next 8 years because there need to be additional environmental studies, need to be planning, engineering, and there's no funding for that. So your answer about when kind of depends on which quarter is selected.
And I think I would agree that there needs to be a community discussion if they decide they want to run nuclear waste through them, which I'm sure the government's already doing and we just don't know it. But that said, we've already had them in here to discuss the movement of nuclear waste and an accident that supposedly can't happen. I don't believe that either from the government. And it's not a pretty scenario. Pretty ugly, actually. So there needs to be discussion about that. And consideration
that.
When they build that highway.
We'll take that action and reach back out to that low-level group that we met with before. It's been a while since we met.
And my major concern with the 95 choice is because it's our old freeway. It's a sweetheart, but it's a roller coaster. It's not flat. You ride on and you get to have a free ride roller coaster around the entire thing up until you get to the spaghetti bowl where they flattened out just enough. And if we're putting heavy trucks in already, that sort of thing, I'm afraid that freeway app isn't going to take it. I feel like there's going to be a lot of redevelopment to make that actually work in that 95 corridor. And if we're talking about major trucks, I don't like it going around the 215 either, because that is people's houses. And if we do put nuclear waste on that, that would be interesting. Out of them, I would pick the 95, but that is picking the bad instead of the worst, in my opinion. And that by no means means I think we should have done the eastern route either. But I think there needs to be serious consideration about how much repair and correction needs to go into 95 to actually make it viable for as many trucks that is anticipated to go on I-11. I understand it's not a bunch more, but even adding 4 more trucks to that can make it a really bad day on some of those crossover bridges that aren't in good repair.
Anything else? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next item is planning and zoning. I understand number one is here, so I will go ahead and read it. It's rather lengthy. So, there we go. UC 2106 46 P, BPS, Harmon LLC, use permits for the following. One, to allow retail sales and service as a primary use outside. 2, alcohol on-premise consumption. 3, alcohol sales, beer and wine package. 4, craft distillery. 5, antiques. 6, arcade. 7, art gallery. 8, banquet facility. 9, club. 10, convenience store. 11, electronic equipment sales. 12, food cart booth. 13, grocery store. 14, health club. 15, hookah lounge. 16, jewelry making. 17, jewelry sales. 18, kiosk information. 19, live entertainment. 20, massage. 21, movie theater. 22, nightclub. 23, office. 24, outside dining and drinking. 25, personal services. 26, pharmacy. 27, photographic studio. 28, recording studio. 29, recreational facility. 30, restaurant. 31, retail sales. 32, shoe repair. 33, sporting goods. 34, theater. And 35, watch repair. Waivers of development standards for the following. 1, allow retail sales and service not within permanent enclosed building. 2, reduce setbacks. 3, reduce landscaping. And 4, reduce height setback ratio. Design reviews for the following. 1, outside retail sales and service structure kiosk. And 2, expansion of second level retail space in conjunction with existing shopping center on 2.2 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment zone, generally located on the northeast corner of Las Vegas Boulevard, south of Harmon Avenue within Paradise. evening.
Good evening. Laura Dreyer, 520 South 4th Street, and here with Kurt Carlson, who is the applicant's architect. This is a property that Kurt and I worked on back in 2010. It is an irregularly shaped parcel with mainly with frontage on Harmon Avenue and just a little bit on Las Vegas Boulevard. In 2010, Kurt and I designed this site to meet all the setbacks and the 3-to-1 setback and dedicate a lot of property to the county for a pedestrian round. And now it's 45 feet wide at places, which is extraordinarily wide. The building has been operating for about 10 years now, and it's been observed over time at the outdoor promenade at the pedestrian level, at Las Vegas Boulevard level, is underused and uncomfortable for pedestrians. The applicant worked with the county over the last 2 years to retrofit this promenade and to bring it down to a more human scale. To do this, Clark County and this board approved a property exchange between the back of Kurt and the building. Once Kurt had more land to work with, he was able to get to work designing a promenade that's more comfortable and vibrant. So I'll let Kurt go over his design, where he used different shade structures, lighting, building pop-outs, and rearranged the outdoor buildings on this promenade.
Good evening, Kirk Carlson, 7250 Peak Drive, Suite 216, 89128. This is, as Laura explained, this is the existing site, Harmon coming across here, Las Vegas Boulevard, running north-south, Planet Hollywood, Cosmopolitan, Crystals, down in there. This is all the existing parking behind the building right now. We're not touching anything with that or anything in the backside of the service areas of the property. It's basically from the building line in the front forward to the street. Right now, in the plaza level out here, there's a combination of outdoor dining that exists in some of these restaurants. There are kiosks out there. I know that's kind of a slur word to say kiosk, but there are kiosks out here in the plaza that are kind of scattered around, kind of in the middle of the pedestrian movement and everything. By taking over the property all the way to the curb, we are installing a new solid pedestrian barrier out here. It's not the pipe bollards that go in. It is a 48-inch tall concrete barrier designed to public works standards for 55 miles an hour impact with a decorative metal fence on top of it. And pushing the kiosks that were initially kind of in the middle of the plaza out to that street edge, basically. That's the setback waiver. Part of the setback waiver that we're looking at, and adding additional kiosks in there. Those kiosks are about 2,400 square feet total. They range from about 100 square feet to 500 square feet for retail sales and F&B and everything was on the list that you just read. The other things that find here, this is the existing stairs that connect to the bridge level up above, the existing elevator that goes to the bridge level, the existing stairs and escalator, all that remains as part of this. Basically, it just opens everything up on the plaza level coming through here. Kind of a more close-up version of it, basically. The idea is to really increase the width of that pedestrian realm that comes through the middle of the plaza, making it more of a pedestrian marketplace coming through it. There are smaller additions on the bridge level. These are the bridges. This is the bridge coming in over Harmon, the bridge over Las Vegas Boulevard. We're looking at adding minimal square feet in these areas, honestly, to improve the facade of the building a little bit. We presented 63, Project 63, a couple months ago to you across the street. This is the same owner. They're looking at upgrading the face of this building now so that it ties back a little more to Project 63. So it's more metal panels, more glass, more activity that you can see within the building and everything. Bridges remain intact in all these areas, all of the public ways coming into it and everything. The kiosks are all pre-designed. They are not, like I said, the servers. They're not the little rolling carts that come in and out and everything. These will be designed. They're metal panel buildings. They will have a uniform look to them. 11 feet tall. They will have a regulated sign program that we will be back in front of you in a couple months to show you the sign program for it. They vary from retail to more open F&B type facilities in it.
from kind of a larger scale to a medium scale, a uniform look to it. The retail, the 100 square footers are smaller units, basically, that are scattered around through there. Give you a little more option in the size of the units in there and the type of activities that go on in it. Everything up here, this is the existing signage that's up there. The little area outlined here, this is kind of the extension, and the extension here, where it's new metal panels, new glazing around those areas. This is the barrier wall in here with the decorative metal fence above it. There's also an additional sign band in here that's kind of a crossover in this. So we're presenting the sign band because the signage is integral to this, even though it is coming in under a separate approval for signage on everything. We've been working with Public Works on view corridors and everything to make sure that it works. Kind of jumping through a little bit too much. This is the street level view looking in. You can see the kiosk pushed closer to the street back here. This is a portion of the new that's added. This is a portion of the new. The other intent that we're doing on this is cleaning out the signage a little bit from the front of the building. And again, that's part of the signage, but we're actually reducing some of the signage on the face here. Everything is contained behind this. The signage band that occurs down here is another LED band that will be kind of a continuation of the signage above it. The other thing we're introducing is behind the sign band is a shade canopy that is going to be a combination of shade and ambient light at night for it. And originally, we've gone through a couple concepts. Jump through here a little bit. And so, this is an area that will be covered by it, basically giving a more pedestrian-friendly environment from the elements of it, so in the sun, in the middle of the summer and everything. Kind of looking through some of these spaces, looking at the pedestrian level, again, we're creating this much wider pedestrian zone in it now, so there's basically a marketplace type feature coming through the plaza for it. Coming down the escalators, looking back through the space. The canopy structure is going to be umbrellas. They are not real umbrellas. They are actually wire mesh that are painted with uplight and downlight in it. This is a concept. These are actually festivals in marketplaces in Europe. So it's a take on that, giving something a little different on the strip, providing protection from the elements. And when you walk across the bridge level, we'll be looking down on this, so you see the player color and the people moving below it. This is more street level rendering, kind of looking through the shade structure. It's actually from the street, it'll be concealed by that LED sign band that's on it. But when you walk through, you get the play of color and shadows and light at night on it.
Okay. Anything else? Do we have anyone here that would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'll close the public and open it to the floor.
Mr. Chair, I'm a little confused. So the public sidewalk now goes through the middle of your mall, or it's still on the outside of your mall? So if you didn't want to walk through between the building and the kiosk, is there another space?
Right now, there are about 3 to 5 feet of planters here,
mm-hmm.
in lieu of the initial barrier wall that was out there. There are kiosks that are kind of dotted through the middle of this, and right now the pedestrian realm actually zigzags around, it kind of wraps around those areas. So there will not be any kiosks out in this middle area now. So this will be an open pedestrian marketplace area in there.
Because if I remember when we approved the kiosks, that was the concern, is that they'd all be lined up so it wouldn't interrupt the pedestrian realm.
And we have recorded a new pedestrian realm with the county,
okay.
which means
it's what, 30 feet wide or 15 feet wide, and we're not allowed to put
anything in there.
Right.
But you're going to cover it so it appears that it's a private, not the public.
It is private property, but with an easement dedicated to the county.
Okay.
It's kind of almost the same thing. I'm sorry. On the bridge level in the building right now, there is a pedestrian realm that goes through that second level that connects the two bridges. Again, it's a private property. It's the same thing as Crystal City. They kind of want some Crystal City.
That particular corner has a lot of problems with homeless.
And that's honestly, that's why they want to get rid of the planters and some of the benches that are in there and make it a more active space so that it discourages certain activities that go on there at night now.
Okay.
And then also the private property gives us some authority to deal with homeless.
That's what I was wondering what the...
Yeah. Right now, because it's county property, they're not allowed to lease that or enforce anything, but when it becomes private property, their own security can control what goes on out there.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
A couple of things. One, from the pictures and diagrams, I have a cautionary note, all right, on the umbrellas. Like the idea, but knowing how things go, if they have handles that are reachable by people,
24 feet up.
Nice. But if they're near anything, okay, so if they're near a stairway, escalator, or anything like that, we have kids, young adults maybe, that will jump and try to grab them. So, simple fix, just don't put a handle on me. Just saying.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. These are basically 24 feet up, and yeah, out of the range. And we're tugging them around.
I
know the cylinders go down and everything.
You're right. That would be a travesty if someone fell down and escalated.
Yeah.
Well, because of the jump.
Yeah.
And then, Mr. Chair, I have
what happens when you jump?
Well, it's true. But I have one issue that I would recommend. If this were to be approved, that under the preliminary staff conditions from current planning, the first bullet, it says no sale of firearms or ammunition. I think it would be prudent to add fireworks to that. Basically, you can't sell fireworks. Not that you're supposed to be able to do that anyway, but if we're not selling guns, let's also not sell fireworks. If that makes sense.
My only concern with your design review is making sure that it's ADA useful for those kiosks, just because the way they look like they're very close together, and if you're in a wheelchair or limited mobility, you're going to make new friends in interesting ways. So that just to be aware of where you place them and make sure you can actually put two wheelchairs next to each other and operate.
Yeah, the building department has already put constraints on us just to how close together the kiosks can be, and we're in with 10 to 12 feet between the kiosks right now.
Just because sometimes they don't think about the byway with two people in a wheelchair. They're like, one person can get through. Just want to make sure you're accessible and helpful for everyone.
Right, and they have to be, they have up with food counters that have to be designed for ADA.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Mr. Chair, there are no further comments or questions. I would make a motion to approve this item subject to the staff conditions.
Do you want to add the fireworks?
Oh, and we can add a stipulation there will be no sale of fireworks.
So we have a motion to approve subject to current planning conditions, preliminary staff conditions, including adding no sale of fireworks.
Sounds right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have item number two. DR 210660, Maximizer Holding LLC, design reviews for the following. One exterior remodel and two freestanding sign in an existing shopping center on a portion of 2.8 acres in a C2 general commercial zone in an Asian design overlay district, generally located on the south side of Spring Mountain Road, 400 feet west of Stober Boulevard within Paradise.
Good evening, Town Board. My name is Stuart Rogers, architect, 6325 South Jones, representing the applicant in this case, the owner of 4661 Spring Mountain Road and 4671 Spring Mountain Road. And we're not changing the site at all, not the parking, not the uses, not the access, not the landscaping, everything remains. The only thing that we're doing is adding a new facade to this portion of the building on the side and changing one of the materials on the existing facade, the 467. Illustrated in the floor plan here, we're adding to the front of the building here, changing one of the materials here. We're not taking away any of the pedestrian area on the north side of the building between it and the parking. In the top elevation, the existing elevation has a very contemporary restaurant facade. Here, we're just changing one of the materials on it. And it has a very old facade here with a wood trellis structure in great disrepair right now. And the buildings, these two buildings, while they touch, they were actually constructed as one building and separated into different parcels after the construction. In a sense, we rejoined them because my client, the property owner, is the same for both. So now they'll be operating both buildings as a single business entity. And so this facade is now this facade right here. We've made it contemporary to coordinate with the existing structure over here, change one of the materials, the stone material, to a marble over here. And that's really the whole project.
Okay. Is there anyone here who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing none, close it to the public and open it to the board.
Mr. Chair, if there's no comments or questions from the board, I'd like to make a motion for approval subject to the preliminary staff conditions.
We have a motion to approve subject to the preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item number three. UC 210658 Kids Turf Academy 2 LLC use permit for a congregate care facility on 2.0 acres in the CP office and professional zone, generally located on the north side of Silverado Ranch Boulevard, 663 feet east of Maryland Parkway within Paradise.
Moon Vision Street, Henderson, Nevada, 89052.
Good evening, I'm Kimberly Nolan. I live at 1770 North Nevada Parkway in Henderson, 89064.
So this is the site plan, and this is Silverado Ranch Boulevard right here, and this is our existing building here, and right now we're approved for a 10-bed community-based living, and we want to expand, so that's the purpose of our land use request, and to allow an expansion of the number of beds that we can offer to our independent seniors. And this is the floor plan. So we would have existing rooms with a capacity of no more than five individuals. And we also have ancillary rooms, computer, exercise room, cafeteria, full commercial kitchen, and game room, in addition to bedrooms. It's a really estate plan, so it's very simple desert landscaping. No changes to our building, no alterations to the exterior. So it's a one-story building, 18,000 square feet approximately. The entire lot is about 2 acres. And I have some photos. Okay. So when you enter, this is our entrance here. We have very wide hallways. These are ADA compliant. These are some of the rooms, outdoor areas, outdoor gathering areas. Some examples of our rooms. Let's see, and then let me show you the bedrooms. So the bedrooms are this. So you see here. The sitting area. There's a good example.
Something like a dormitory.
Exactly. And bathrooms, of course. And we have shower and also some tub shower combination. This is the cafeteria, commercial kitchen. Right here. Kitchen.
We have a computer lab inside, exercise room.
Exercise room, and
game room. So we are right off the Silver Lake Ranch, so we don't have to, we're not in the neighborhood. We have to drive in and out. We are only for elderly, so we're 60 and older, so it would not be for a younger generation. Is there any questions?
Is there anyone here who would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'll close the public and open it to the board. If no one has anything, I'll make a motion to approve subject to staff's preliminary conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Good luck. That goes to the Planning Commission on January 4th.
Thank you.
All right, item number 4, AR 21-400174, UC 0813-14, County of Clark Aviation, use permits, second application for review. Of the following: 1, truck staging area, and 2, wave landscaping to an abutting residential use on 9.0 acres in a public use AE 60 and AE 65 zone, generally located between Paradise Road and University Center Drive, 225 feet north of Hacienda Avenue within Paradise.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, town board members. My name is Tony Celeste, address 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here on behalf of the applicant Freeman. This property is about 9 acres, right on the coming out of the kind of airport connector towards Tropicana, highlighted here in yellow. It has been used as a staging ground for about 10 years now, initially for assistance in the construction of Terminal 3 of McCarran, and now transitioned most recently over the last several years in assistance with staging and cargo for the convention center. Applicant is asking to continue to extend that use to continue assistance with the conventions. We appreciate staff's recommendation of approval and happy to answer any questions.
Is there anyone here to speak on this item? Nobody left in the room. Close to the public and open it to the board.
Okay.
Chair. If there's no comments or questions, I make a motion to approve, subject to staff conditions.
We have a motion to approve, subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Great, thanks. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
You know, it goes to the Board of County Commissioners on the 5th of January.
Got it.
Item number 5. Oh, another long one. ET 21400175, UC 049215, Westland LLC, use permit, second extension of time for the following. 1, high impact project, 2, resort hotel, 3, public areas, including the casino, showrooms, live entertainment, retail center, indoor and outdoor dining, entertainment, offices, convention, back of house, parking structures, 4, increase the height of high-rise towers, 5, associated accessory and individual commercial uses, building and structures, and 6, deviations from development standards. Deviations for the following. 1, reduce on-site parking requirements. 2, allow primary access to outside dining and drinking areas, restaurants, retail buildings, and uses from the exterior of a resort hotel. 3, encroachment into airspace. 4, alternative landscaping. And 5, all other deviations as per plans on file. Waivers of development standards for the following. 1, reduced setbacks. 2, non-standard improvements, landscaping and fencing within the right-of-way. Sign reviews for the following. 1, high impact project. 2, resort hotel and all associated and accessory uses. 3, hotel towers and associated low-rise, mid-rise buildings and structures. 4, low-rise and mid-rise buildings, including retail, restaurants, public and back-of-house areas. 5, water features and man-made lake and decorative water fountains. And 6, all other accessory and incidental buildings and structures on 34.6 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment zone in the MUD 1 overlay district, generally located in the northwest corner of Las Vegas Boulevard, south of Fashion Show Drive, within Winchester and Paradise. So we do a no-show return to the board?
Yeah. She's got the next one.
Yeah.
So December 28th.
Yep.
So motion to motion no-show return to the board. What is it? December 28th?
Yes.
Okay. I guess so, because there's no one here, obviously.
Any related. So.
Yep, the same person.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Motion carries. Boy, that picked up things real quick.
Yeah.
Moving right along. General business, anything?
For an announcement, I didn't want to make it at the start of the meeting, so we'll just make it now. We have a scheduling a training. It's a midterm training, so it's going to be shortened. It's going to be a little different. We're going to have some speakers coming from the water to talk to you all about upcoming ordinances that are going to affect everybody with regard to water conservation. So we're just, I just want to let you know, it's going to come up in January, and I think we're trying to schedule it for January 22nd. So, schedule it in your calendars right now. We'll be at the Water District. We use the same one that we do all the time. So,
for those of us who've never done this before, what's the room we've used all the time?
It's the
Meat Room.
Right off
of Charleston and
Right there on the corner.
The Meat Room in the main lobby.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if this is a training for all the.
Yeah, it's one of those midterm trainings. You have to, by NRS, be trained once a year in ethics and leading law. So our DA, Steve Swinehart, is actually gone. So he, this one is new, I think his name is Big T. And it's probably going to be a mixture of him and Rob Rahola, who is our actual DA on zoning meetings, that's going to offer training on open meeting law and ethics. But we're going to add some
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So they're saying, Deputy DA, that I'm dealing with the depositions?
Yes. Yes. Rob will hold it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the calendar, once we have firmed up the dates and times, we'll send everybody an email through the next couple weeks.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Wow.
Okay.
She's making too much money. She's throwing her phone around.
Okay. Item number 8, comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board. Jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the microphone. If applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of presentation, this will be done by the chairperson of the board by majority vote. And there's no one here. Moving on. The next meeting is December 28, 2021. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Okay.
What? What?